Comedian Eddie F. joins us next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Adam Carolla on the program, too, and Dana White, president of the UFC. By the way, Kevin, if he hasn't left yet for Rio, see if he'll let you jump on board the plane and head on down.
Oh, that'd be great.
Would that be the sweetest ride ever?
I would love that.
Because you know he's got to have a private plane going down to
Rio.
No,
I'll tell you guys I'm going to broadcast from down there, and then you'll never hear from me.
You'll be gone forever.
That'll be great.
Sounds like a win-win to me. Hey, guess who's back in the news, Lisa Mayer? Old friend Dr. Stephen Hawking had a birthday over the weekend.
Oh, now, okay.
Let me tell you something about Stephen Hawking. He's the little, as Homer Simpson calls it, my little robot friend. He's the scientist who's in a wheelchair. He can't talk anymore. He uses one of those computer voices to talk. He's a genius. He's a best-selling author. He's an astrophysicist. He's been, is an expert on black holes. The guy has been a scientist genius for decades.
I'd go so far as to say he's our favorite astrophysicist. I'd go so far as to say at the top of that list is Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm. Probably not for me. Okay. I'm more of a Neil deGrasse Tyson man. But my point is, my point is that it's a miracle that the dude is still alive. He's had Lou Gehrig's disease since he was like 20. And usually you get, 2, 3, 5, maybe 6 years out of something like that.
Yeah.
He's 70 now. He had his 70th birthday. Like, how is that possible that this dude is still alive and still working?
It's stunning. It's stunning that he's still going.
We have him on the phone. If you want to ask him that very question, Dr. Stephen Hawking, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Well, happy birthday, first of all. 70 is probably a year that even you thought you wouldn't make, sir.
How do you like me now, bitches?
Pretty impressive. What's the secret? How have you been able to stay alive and beat the odds so long?
Exercise.
Yep. Well, I
like to keep active.
That seems unlikely since you're in a wheelchair and you look like you weigh about 40 pounds.
Lifting weights, running long distance.
I don't see any of that happening.
Parkour.
You know what else is weird is David Bowie actually shared a birthday with you.
Yes,
it's kind of strange, right?
It was also David's birthday this weekend.
Right, isn't
he's
that crazy?
65, right.
We always hang out together, Dave and I, being both famous Brits.
You hang out together with David Bowie?
Yes. We partied together for our birthdays this past weekend.
No kidding.
Are you kidding? I had no idea that you even knew each other. That's crazy.
The party is still going on.
Right now?
Because the party don't stop until the panties drop.
Is that true for you too?
That's how I roll.
I see. Okay.
And he means roll. So what do you guys do? I mean, what do you even have in common?
Would you like to talk to David?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? Yeah, the very reclusive David Bowie. You rarely get a chance to speak with him.
Good morning, Kevin Levine.
Hi, David.
I party with Stephen Hawking.
We were curious about...
I party with Stephen Hawking.
All right.
I party with Stephen Hawking. It was my birthday this weekend. I am 65.
Uh-huh.
I have a life alert necklace. I've fallen and can't get up. I party with Stephen
Hawking. Okay, party with Stephen Hawking. Can we talk to you about...
I party with Stephen Hawking.
All right, okay.
What?
Get Stephen on the phone again.
I party with Stephen Hawking.
Can we talk to Stephen Hawking?
Stephen, they want to talk to you.
Oh, good.
Kevin Bean wants to talk to you. Pick up the phone, they want to talk to you.
Okay,
and done with me, they want to talk with you.
Just not answering
talk
any
talk with you
questions.
Right on the phone
right.
Now.
David, hand the phone to Stephen Hawking.
To hand the phone up. I'll be handing the phone to Stephen.
Go ahead and do that.
Stephen will be on the phone
right.
Next.
Just hand
the
him.
Next voice you hear will be Stephen.
I hope so.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen. Hi. Wow, that was. I thought we'd lost you there for a minute, Doctor. That was tough.
I party with David Bowie.
What's happening?
I party with David Bowie.
No, this isn't what we want.
I party with David Bowie. I party with David Bowie.
Okay, right. But what kind
I
of party?
I party with David Bowie.
Been hanging out too much, I think. Okay.
I party with David Bowie.
What do you do when you party with
David Bowie? And I like to party.
This is all we're gonna get.
I party with David Bowie.
All right. Okay.
I party with David.
All right. Happy birthday, T-Bone.
David Bowie and and I do party.
Okay. Thank you.
He dances, I just sit here.
That's my guitar.
I like it.
Morning, party people. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here in the world-famous K-Rock at 5:48 in the a.m. It is the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. Right now, I'm sure Bean is still nestled in his bed, spooning a sheep. And Kevin is somewhere lying face first down into a pool of his own sick. So
that's
how they're celebrating their time off. However, I am still in the studio doing the showbiz beat along with my friends Omar and Chip, who have joined me because they have to, or else they won't get paid.
That's true.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do want to mention that this is your last chance to grab our new K-Rock sticker. It's available at any SoCal Del Taco that still have any left. I know they are going quickly. Pick one up, fill out the back, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and a 2012 Honda motorcycle, both, plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. And if you'd like to get your sticker today, I know where there will be some, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Del Taco in Long Beach. That's where our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, will be hanging out. It's on PCH and North Obispo Avenue. You can also get tickets for the X Games. They're kicking off today. Rise Against, Foster the People, 18th Annual Hootenanny. He's going to have K-Rock music and other stuff to give away. So if you want to hang out with Dave, the King of Mexico.
I'm just rad.
He is rad, and he'll be there from noon to 2 at the Del Taco in Long Beach. So go by and say hi. And if you see him this morning, ask him why he's not at work yet.
Oh, he's not here yet?
No, he's still not here yet.
Okay.
I think he's on a little vacation, too.
Mini
vacation.
Right.
He gets to roll in whenever he likes. Yeah. Here's somebody else who's on vacation, Andy Dick. Our buddy Andy Dick, he's back in rehab.
Oh, man, really? We just had him in.
I know, and he was doing well.
He was funny, and yeah,
he was
all together.
He was sharp and sober, but apparently did not go well again. Andy's been struggling with addiction for so many years, off and on, and apparently he is off the wagon again. There was an intervention with family and friends while he was filming his internet TV show, and his boss gave him the chance to get help or get fired. Andy was reportedly moved to tears by the gesture and checked himself into the Oasis Treatment Center last Tuesday. So, of course, we wish Andy the best because he is a very funny, talented guy who has this problem. And he's got to get it out of the way before he can get back to work and stop living in that shed that he lives in behind his ex-wife's house.
Yeah.
The Kings of Leon are fertile guys. We were just talking about Caleb and his wife, Lily Aldridge, who welcomed a daughter last Thursday into the world. Well, now Nathan Followill has announced that he and his wife, Jessie, are expecting their first child this December. The drummer tweeted that he's beyond anxious and believes that life is beautiful. All right, easy, relax.
Life is beautiful.
Wait till the baby can't sleep, like Omar and I were commiserating about off the
air.
Seriously.
So much poop, dude.
Life gets uglier
for
a little bit there. Yeah. It's beautiful, and then it gets a little ugly, and then it gets beautiful again. More baby news. Anna Paquin and her husband, Stephen Moyer, of course, from True Blood, are expecting this fall. And they're going to hear the pitter-patter of four little feet. They are going to have a set of twins. If all goes well, their True Blood co-star, Sam Trammell, also has twins. So he tells Us Weekly he's been trying to impart some decent wisdom, which I think is just hold on tight and try not to lose your mind.
Yep.
Hey, Kesha, she's a trashy whore. It's hard to believe, but she actually got a little trashier, which is, you wouldn't think it'd be possible.
Yeah, it's very hard to do, because she's at that bottom level.
She is. She, however, went past the bottom. She dug out the bottom a little deeper.
Wow.
She was at a tattoo parlor here in Los Angeles this week.
Uh-oh.
She added a nice piece of ink inside her lip. If you pull it down and read it now, it says, suck it.
What?
Yeah, she got the inside of her lip tattooed.
Dude, that is... White trash doesn't even... They don't even get tattoos on their lip.
No.
That's how bad it is.
That's what you get if you're a prison bitch and they hold you down and they give you a tattoo.
Exactly.
That's what you get.
Exactly. Wow.
So, yeah, she got suck it inside her lip and...
Wow.
I would say avoid it would be a better tattoo if you looked inside her mouth, however.
Oh, man. She's just so disgusting.
She's a pig.
Wow.
And what's the secret to Tom Cruise's boyish good looks? Well, it turns out it's bird poop.
Really?
Yeah, he indulges in expensive facials which use nightingale poop mixed with rice bran and water. Now Magazine did the story, and they say it's a natural, uplifting, rejuvenating product for the skin where they rub in nightingale poop into your skin, and apparently the results are fantastic.
Maybe I'm in the wrong field. Maybe I need to go.
You need to go.
You know,
milk some nightingale colons and
exactly.
Start yourself a spa.
Absolutely.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian, director, legend Mel Brooks, 86 years old today. One of the funniest movie makers maybe ever. You ever see Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein? Just great, great films. 86 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates turns 64. Actress Mary Stuart Masterson is 46 years old today, as is actor John Cusack. Skateboarder and TV personality Rob Dyrdek, our buddy Rob, or Rob Durden, as Kevin would call him. He is 38 years old today. Bassist Mark Stormer of The Killers is 35 years old. And Kelly Pickler, who was on American Idol and became a successful country singer in her own right, she is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I rock the showbiz beat.
Come on, let's get back to what's important.
Yes, please.
For God's sakes, we haven't heard Local H before? Come on!
You are listening to the Kevin Beach Show here on a Thursday. UFC President Dana White joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, Ralph has gone back to the archives, unfortunately, and you are playing tape from me, Bean, from what, the mid-80s,
1984,
Ralph?
Sir.
Wow.
WPGC!
This should not be allowed to exist.
This was Bean back in the day. This was how talented this young disc jockey was. So talented that other stations started to clamor for his...
For services?
For his services, yeah.
Hey, that guy that did that thing about that phone number, we got to get him.
Played a lot of stuff earlier. We've got much more to go. This is Bean warning the folks who are, heading home on their drive.
If you are going to or fro tonight, please slow down a little bit. Please put on those headlights.
Wow.
Thanks for reminding me I need headlights when I'm driving at night.
Bean is a gangster and he's trying to get people killed.
Hey, if you're going to and fro.
He said to
who and goes to and fro?
Nobody does, but who loves that kind of talk more
no
than
No one's
me.
Gone to and fro since 1860.
You know
this. Last year someone went to and fro.
It's 1860s Bean. You know that. You
this
love
date
him.
Might be from 1860 for all I know.
You may have heard Bean there playing Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Bean coming out of a Michael Jackson.
WPGC, you better run out and buy yourself another copy of Thriller, because it looks like we're not going to be seeing those songs live on the concert stage this year, huh? There's Mikey at 6:35, and this is Bean.
Mikey. Better go buy another one.
Because he's not in concert.
You already have
so
one.
So play the new one and act as if it's a concert.
But since you can't see a concert, maybe you should buy another of the exact same one.
What was that, payola? Were you on the
teat?
The exactly.
Why would you need another copy of the album?
I have no idea. Just because he's not in concert. Why would you have to buy two album copies?
Go buy another one of the exact same thing.
Because it's not in concert.
Not going to be in concert.
That's Mikey.
That makes no sense.
It is Mikey, too. That's...
You want to hear some of Bean's humor? His patented humor?
That wasn't it?
Oh, no. This is a clever, clever joke.
Is it cheese?
Oh.
Cheeserific?
It's Limburger.
95. PGC is WPGC FM Morningside. Heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Oh. It's heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Where's the outrage there? See, because it's not, you can't get that
you
on
think
your
he's
going to
say, heard on more radios than any other station, because
right.
No, it's heard on more radios than any other household appliance.
Right.
You don't hear it on your blender.
You go to your blender, you can try and find it.
You don't hear it on your waffle iron.
Not there.
You hear it on your radio. It's where you pick up WPGC. Hello?
Wow. I don't know what you want me to say. There's no defense.
Look. That's correct.
I'm as horrified as you guys are.
You should be more horrified.
Bean loves live commercials.
More than life
I
itself.
I do love live commercials.
It's
that's
really
true.
Weird. Like,
the rest of the radio population, as I know it, hates having to do these live reads.
Everyone does. And the day I met Bean, he told me if I could get my perfect job, it would just be reading commercials.
Commercial copy.
What are you talking about?
Now I know why.
Because, it takes a tough.
Sorry, what?
Now I know why Bean loves the live reads, because he can take the live read and then transform it
into
some magical comedy.
It takes a tough man to make a tender roaster. Purdue. All giant supermarkets have fresh Purdue Prime breasts, drumsticks, and thighs on sale. Why not stop in day and buy some? I want to know if Frank Purdue looked like a chicken before he took over the company, or is it because he hangs around him a lot? Is that what did it? The world may never know.
Oh, man.
He makes it sound like porn, too.
It does. Yeah.
It's Creepy
it
Bean.
It wasn't creepy. It's young
it
Creepy Bean.
That was young yeah. Creepy Bean.
I was impressed. Look, I hate this, but I was impressed that I wasn't making any kind of a boob joke. I was just making jokes about the guy who ran the company looking like a chicken.
Did it with your voice.
Breast, thighs. Let's hear I'm Bean.
Let's hear I'm Bean again.
It takes a tough man to make a tender roaster. Purdue. All giant supermarkets of fresh Purdue Prime breasts, drumsticks, and thighs on sale. Why not stop today and buy some? I want to know if Frank Purdue looked like a chicken before he took over the company, or is it because he hangs around him a lot? Is that what did it? Yeah. The world may never know.
Adam Bean.
The world doesn't care, but they may never know.
That was
Frank
creepy,
Purdue.
You don't think I feel bad?
Not bad enough.
All right, we are out of
no,
time.
We are.
More.
We listen
have
to
more.
This
one
next
one
break.
More.
We have
okay.
more.
This
freaking
has to
unbelievable.
Be the last. We have 24.73 seconds, and we're going to air all of it.
This is insane, even for 1980 by 1984 standards.
Okay,
you know, Bean loves to make the antique references.
Oh, he's 1860s Bean.
Yeah, this one, even in 84, was old by 84 standards.
Wow.
You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe it.
Here's Bean. 95 PGC.
Good evening.
Is this Alfred Hitchcock calling?
Is it Alfred Hitchcock?
Well, the way you said good evening.
No.
I thought maybe you were back from the grave. Well, go ahead then, Alfred.
I thought maybe you could.
Oh. Yeah, she didn't have any idea what you were even talking about.
Alfred Hitchcock reference from a 1950s TV show.
To a girl who was 17?
Right. She's like, Alfred Hitchcock? She doesn't even know who that is.
I thought the way you said good evening.
The way you said good evening.
Maybe he'd come back from the dead.
I'm Pete.
I'm telling you, he hung up his headphones and he went, yes.
Yes, I finally worked in that Hitchcock gag I've been
nailed
working
it.
On.
Did we air check that? Yes!
Lastly, want to hear this?
Yep.
Being, it's self-explanatory.
So I'm really sad.
Oh, how old are you?
I am 24.
You're 24, you're going to be married soon.
Almost over the hill.
Just about. It's a good thing you tied down a man or you'd end up a spinster.
It's the truth.
Same guy. Same guy today. Just slamming the women. Just you're an old lady. Yeah, you found yourself a man. I can't believe it. Just still slamming the ladies.
Yeah, I hear that every week from him.
I'm taken with the word spinster, though. I think we're back to 1860s Bean.
That guy does radio from a covered wagon.
Not my fault.
King, why last week did you have A-listers lined up out the door to get on the Kevin and Bean show? This week, all of a sudden, you can't get one MTV guy on the phone?
Maybe that's a question you should ask yourself, Bean. Maybe that's a question you should ask yourself.
It does happen every time.
It does. Yes, I'm saying the guests flock to the show, and they know Bean's on vacation, and when he comes back, they tend to stay away like
that's
the plague.
That's interesting when you put it that way.
Yeah,
all of a sudden
how about
you get
that?
You get your Will Ferrell and your Channing Tatum and your William H. Macy, and the list just goes on and on.
Allison Breed, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
This week I can't get freaking Dyrdek on the phone.
Nope.
That's what you're telling me. Come on, Dave. Well, listen, we were planning on talking to Rob, and hopefully we still will. The premiere of the new season of Fantasy Factory happens tonight on MTV. If you see Mr. Dyrdek, do tell him he missed our call. But I'm actually glad that we have a minute here, because I made reference to something in the Showbiz Report a few minutes ago, Ralph, that really just floored me. Because Dave, I don't think of as being a stupid man. And I don't think of as making ridiculously poor choices. Yet he said something during the song that shocked me, which is that he won't go see the Will Ferrell movie, no matter how much he loves Will Ferrell, and he does, because it's subtitled. And
I can't get my head
around that as a thing that a human would say. Please help me here.
Well, hold on. There's two reasons why. One, I don't want to read.
What do you mean you don't want to read?
Hold on.
We all have to read every day in our life. It's secondhand.
I don't want to read
second nature
at the movies. And two, it's in Spanish. I just
so
don't.
That's the point of it, is it's in Spanish, Dave.
Yes.
That's the crux of it. It's like saying, I don't want to see Star Wars because it takes place in outer space.
Well, if I wasn't interested in outer space, then I wouldn't see Star Wars.
But you're interested in comedy, right? You're interested in laughing, right?
Yes.
A good film. You like good films and good comedies?
Yes. And luckily, 21 Jump Street was out there and I could watch that.
Right. You got that. And then you also have this, which is hilarious in a completely different way. The fact that it's in Spanish isn't a detriment. It's not a mark against it.
It's in a language that I don't want to hear. And then
you're a freaking Mexican.
He's a
your parents.
being Mexican.
They are fluent. They no, I hate it. I just home.
Don't want to hear it. You know, it's the reason why I don't watch Channel 34. You know, it's like,
oh my God,
this is
you're
insane.
So missing the point
but Channel
of all
34,
of this.
Channel 34 is an English subtitle. This is made so that anyone who speaks English or Spanish can go and enjoy the
it's
film.
It's part of the humor. It's actually part of the humor.
It's just a lot of extra work.
It's and not extra work. You're sitting your
at
ass
the movie
in a theater staring at a screen. It's the same amount of work.
Dave, so, how
it
hard is it?
His texting, as you pointed
yeah,
out
you
earlier,
text in
Ralph.
Theaters. That's reading theaters. And writing. That's twice as much work.
But even if I were to text, if I would look down to my phone when I was texting, I wouldn't miss anything because I could hear it. And if I... You know.
Oh, that's the problem.
He doesn't want to watch the screen? You don't want to focus on the film because you'll see what's going on?
I mean, what if I'm eating my popcorn and I drop it and I go, whoops, try to clean it up real quick. I missed something. Boom, movie's ruined.
Oh, my God.
Dave,
this is madman speaking.
Have you never seen a subtitled movie, Dave?
Once when I went to go see the original Batman, but it was subtitled in Spanish. And
what?
It was annoying. Because they were subtitling for Spanish instead of English.
You mean
you saw it in Mexico City?
Almost, East LA. But
no, you mean you saw a movie that was in English, but it had writing on the bottom of the screen for people who wanted to read
exactly.
it in Spanish.
And that was annoying. So, you know what? I don't want to read
But this isn't annoying. This isn't like a byproduct. See, it's annoying when you're watching an English film that's written in a foreign language because it's disturbing what you're already appreciating. This time, the English translation is key to your enjoyment of the film.
You understand, I didn't even watch Will Ferrell's interview with Jimmy Kimmel because it had subtitles. I just said, oh, that's funny.
Okay,
cool.
We have and to tie down. Him down
are,
and make him do this.
You are lazy to a mythic proportion.
You say lazy, I say I know what I want.
It's like biblical lazy. You're like in the definition, in the dictionary, is your picture.
Why? I mean, listen. I'm not going to pay money to go and read. That's what I'm just saying.
Oh,
why do you make
God.
It sound like they're asking you to build the pyramids with a whip on your back? It's just glancing at a screen and reading a freaking sentence.
They're not asking you to write the movie, right?
I don't want to do that at the movies.
Dave.
Holy crap.
Look, I understand if you're 11 and you're seeing your first ever subtitle movie. I understand that you go, ooh, this is different. This is weird. But most people get over it. Honestly, when you sit down in the theater, you forget that it's a subtitle movie in about the first 2 minutes. It just becomes part of the experience. You're just watching and enjoying a film.
Saw the trailer. I need to know. That's all I need to know.
This is stunning. I'm confounded. I can't even have this conversation because your logic is so backwards.
It's not backwards. I know what I want, and that's not what I want.
I know what I want.
All right, let me put it this way. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will bring you into the 21st century. If Kevin were saying this, I could understand it. Okay? You don't want to be on Kevin's side.
Yeah, you don't want to be a Kevin.
You don't want to be a Kevin, right? You're better than that, Dave.
You know me and Kevin are boys, so we
right,
boys.
I
don't mind being on his side when it comes to movies like this.
Well, he's never going to see The Artist, Dave.
I won't see it either, yeah.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So kind of he is Kevin.
This is not The Artist, though. This is a goofy, silly comedy starring Will Ferrell, and it's amazingly funny, and it's...
Kevin will see this
movie. Yeah, Kevin will absolutely
will
see this
movie.
He will not see this movie.
Yes, he absolutely will see this
you know
movie.
Why? You know why? And this is and for the same reason you should, which is Will Ferrell almost never disappoints. He is a tremendous comic actor, and
that
he's
is true,
always yes. funny. So he's going to be funny in this movie, too. Kevin knows that. He'll go.
It's funnier hearing him speak Spanish than it would be if he had done this movie in English.
You know, if it was for a couple of scenes, I would be all down for it, but not the whole movie.
Just too tiring for you? Just too exhausting?
Too much,
huh?
Man. It's too much. I don't know. You know, I want to go into a movie to relax and not...
It's not stressful to read. Can you read? Is this what you're trying to finally admit? Are you illiterate? You can't read? Is that why? Are you ashamed?
No.
You'll go to theater and start crying. You're like, okay, I can't read. You have to admit it to everyone? Because it's so hard to sound out the words. The whoa, man. Is that how it's going to work out for you?
But what if I'm reading something and I don't get it, so I have to reread it? Oh, it's gone. And now the scene's lost.
Reread it? You're not throwing sonnets up on the screen. It's one line of dialogue.
I'm just saying.
Dave, they're not asking you to memorize the Encyclopedia Britannica. It literally, Ralph's right, it's a line of film at a time. That's it. You got to read a sentence and I then move
Dave,
on to the next
it,
one.
Dave may be a poor reader. I think he may
it
be a poor reader.
I think that might be it. But also, do you ever see a movie where somebody mumbles a line and you miss it? Does that ruin the whole movie for you? Do you just get up and walk out? Oh, I missed a line. That's it.
I did not understand what she just said. Now I have to leave.
And if it's mumbled, then I understand it's probably mumbled for a reason.
Oh,
and that line's probably not important enough.
You are magic.
You are dead to me, my friend.
Listen, I'm right. It's okay.
You're not right.
It's okay for you to be right.
That's what's so frustrating.
I'm not telling you guys to go not watch it, but me personally, I will not.
Oh, dude.
You disappoint me.
Hit him in the nuts, Ralph. We got to go.
All right. It is summertime, and living is easy for Kevin and Bean.
Yeah.
Because they're on freaking vacation. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here in the world-famous K-Rock. However, your old radio pal Ralph is still here doing the showbiz beat, and that's what I'm here for, to tell you showbiz news, like the fact that Andy Dick is back in rehab. Sad news. Andy's a friend of the show. He was just in not too long ago and seemed to be clean, sober, and happy, but he's fallen off the wagon, and according to the San Francisco Chronicle, he was confronted in an intervention by friends and family while filming his internet TV show, and his boss gave him the chance to get help or get fired. Andy chose help. He is now in the Oasis Treatment Center as of last Tuesday, and we're wishing him, of course, the best. If you're keeping track at home, by the way, Andy has suffered addiction for years, and apparently this is over his 10th rehab stint.
Wow.
So we'll have to see whether it sticks or not this time, but
nice work,
hope
Dr.
so.
Drew.
Yeah, Dr. Drew once again. another cash in the win column for Dr.
Right.
Drew. Zac Efron's a big dick.
Yeah.
In Touch magazine has a picture of Zach parking his Audi in a handicapped spot. How dare you, Zac Efron? Now, I admit, I've seen you act, and you are handicapped. But I think that's for people with physical handicaps, and I wish you would get the hell out of there. Khloe Kardashian in the news. She is talking to doctors about fertility treatments because she and Lamar Odom can't get pregnant. Now, I say it's because you cannot merge two species. You have to stay in the same genus or something like that in order to get offspring. However, they seem to think it's because of her hormone levels. So In Touch magazine is reporting that she is willing to take hormone treatments because she's desperate. Here's the problem. There's a byproduct to those treatments. They may make her bulk up.
More?
More!
Oh, my God.
It's the Incredible Hulk. She's going to burst out of her pants and turn green.
God, I feel bad for Lamar.
She says she is willing to gain weight and bulk up because she's desperate to have a baby. So look for a bigger, better Chloe.
Wow.
Sometime near you. Comedy Central is roasting Roseanne Barr, we talked about earlier this week. They have now announced who the host of that event will be. Glee's Jane Lynch, apparently, will be the host of the show.
I like her.
I like her, too.
She's funny.
She's funny. I think she'd do a good job. She said in the press release, I've long fantasized of ripping Roseanne Barr a new one. But because I don't have the cojones to say anything offensive to her face, I will be hosting the proceedings. So, and the last Comedy Central roast, of course, was Charlie Sheen. Big Charlie Sheen debut tonight. His new show, Anger Management, is being rolled out on the FX channel. If you want to check that out, it's at 9 p.m. if you want to see Charlie Sheen's new TV series. Wimbledon over there on ESPN in another programming note. So Wipeout is back on ABC. Check that out. Wilfred, story of a boy and his talking dog.
So funny. If you guys haven't checked that out,
very funny show.
Very funny.
That's on FX at 10 p.m. New Louie on FX as well at 10:30. And then Russell Brand starts his late night talk show, Brand X, at 11 p.m. You can check that out.
I'm an F-18, bro.
You are, bro. Winning. And R. Kelly has had to bow out of some promotional appearances for his new album and memoir. The singer's publicist says there's been some complications from the throat surgery he had last year. Get rid of an abscess on his vocal cords, so he can't go around doing the TV talk show rounds or doing interviews for his book and new album, Write Me Back, because obviously he doesn't want to damage his vocal cords. He's got those trapped in the closets to make for
Absolutely
us. We
does.
Don't want anything to go wrong.
That's right.
His new memoir is called Sola Coaster. Sola Coaster, The Diary of Me. That's in stores today. And Write Me Back, his new album came out on Tuesday. Apparently, R. Kelly can only communicate by writing down on a pad of paper what he needs, and he keeps writing, have someone pee on me, so I don't know what that means. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks is 86 years old today.
Actress Kathy Bates turns 64. Mary Stuart Masterson, she is 46 years old today. John Cusack, very talented actor, is 46 as well. Skateboarder and TV personality Rob Dyrdek turns 38. Bassist Mark Stomer of The Killers is 35 years old. And Kelly Pickler, former American Idol contestant and now a very successful country singer, she's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a new show that I am so excited about because these are my people. It is called Doomsday Preppers, and it just debuted this past Tuesday night on the Nat Geo channel. By the way, I want to thank a number of Kevin and Bean listeners who tipped us off to the show. I had not heard about this yet, but man, it is right in our wheelhouse, Kevin. You're going to love these people so much.
This sounds almost as good as Swamp People.
Yeah, it's in the vein of Swamp People. Right. Just you can't believe these people exist and live among us in our country. But the there's a bunch of different kinds of Doomsday Preppers. There are those who are convinced that we're going to be at war and we won't be able to have access to any food or services. There are those who think the economy is going to collapse because of hyperinflation. There are those who think we're going to run out of oil and that's going to turn all of us on each other because nothing will be able to be delivered and we'll quickly run out of food. I mean, all earthquakes, a lot of people preparing for the huge earthquakes. Sure. So people have different reasons for believing that the end times are near and that you're going to be pretty much on your own and fending for yourself and your family. And it's the show is about people who are preparing for whatever the cataclysmic event is. Sweet. And let's start by meeting a couple of people from the Doomsday Prepper shows. This is Raylene and Scott. Let's see what they've got going on.
My husband and I focus a great deal on what we call our bug-in plan.
Now, you'll learn the terminology is that there are two types of people, or two types of plans for both types of people, is the bug-in plan, which is where you can't leave your apartment. It's too dangerous to go outside, so you need to have everything that you need in your apartment or house or okay. on your compound or wherever, so that you are self-sufficient. And then there's the bug-out, which is what happens when you go outside among all the people. What are you going to need in terms of weapons and that sort of thing?
So
these folks are concentrating on what they're going to need indoors.
Plan, where things are so awful outside that you really don't want to go anywhere. In a doomsday financial collapse scenario, we would be staying put exactly where we are.
Being able to walk through your home without the lights on, which you may not have, is critical.
See, so what they're doing is they're doing exercises where they run up and down the stairs and in and out of all the various rooms in the pitch black darkness because there's the power grid's going to be off. And if somebody breaks into their house, they want to make sure they know how to get around.
Good play. Let's go, 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 go.
Knowing the layout of your home gives you a significant advantage.
I navigate this house in the dark even better than I navigate my own town with a GPS system. We feel confident that we could take care of any potential invader.
Now, part two of their plan, in addition to running around in the dark, is they have come up with multiple ways to communicate with one another. And I think the fact that they're bringing Morse code back is a good move.
All right.
We chose Morse code as one of our communication strategies because we were watching one of the Charlie Angels movies. And they're, like, doing Morse code on each other's hands in the dark so that they know what their next kick butt move is. Anyway, so we thought that would be a good idea, so we started using that. I think having the alternative communication measures will be very important.
Okay. You can make fun of these people if you want and say they're dumb because they're doing Morse code. They are also preparing by teaching themselves the Philippine language of Tagalog because, well, you'll hear them explain why. They're now teaching themselves to speak Filipino.
You don't always want to turn your hand, and the element of surprise is one of the biggest assets that you have. We want to have more than one communication means, and so another strategy is learning to be fluent in Tagalog.
Meron mas maraming ba?
Hindi.
Sayang.
They speak Tagalog in the Philippines. It is a rare language, so it's not likely that we run into someone who will be fluent in that as well.
See, if they get strangers in their home, people come in that try to take over them or something like that, and they're held captive, they're going to be able to communicate with one another without the other people understanding what they're saying.
Well, they've thought of everything.
They're impressive.
They have thought of everything.
I have to say, this is a full-time job.
They put a lot of time into it. Now let's go up to New England in Maine. We're going to meet Kathy, who's a sweet grandmotherly type who is preparing with her friends and family in case their town somehow goes off the grid.
They call me the Doris Day of Doom because I'm preparing for a black swan event like a catastrophic New Madrid earthquake.
You got to start using black swan event. That sounds awesome,
like it.
Doesn't it?
Black swan event.
Black swan events are those events that come out of nowhere. We often say, oh, I didn't see that one coming. But they have the potential to completely change the way we live our lives.
Kathy actively encourages her entire community to ready themselves for the coming doomsday by including them in her prepping activities.
We're already in a sort of doomsday event. I mean,
What?
And our government is spending like hundreds of billions of dollars a year on weapons and the military. Like, it seems like they're prepping.
How about that? If the government is preparing for the worst, shouldn't we, the citizens, be preparing for the worst?
Guy's got a point.
He's thought
this through.
Absolutely.
We've been very busy out collecting apples for doing our cider pressing. After the cider is sat for a while, you can turn it into hard cider or whiskey. If a crisis happened, we could barter. It'd be very, very valuable. Some people say, oh, I just want to have guns. And frankly, I think that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Marauding bands come. I'll show them how much great food I've got. I'll invite them to some sort of feast and charm them. And then if I decide that they could be useful and cooperative, great. And otherwise, I'll poison them or cut their throats in their sleep or something like that.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait. Well, what happened there?
What if he needs to kill them?
What happened there?
Yeah. Very smart, by the way, to be making alcohol, because that's going to be something that's going to make you very popular and give you something to trade with.
Well, the first guy that finds this is going to drink the whole thing.
You know,
well,
that's true,
so.
Yeah.
They're making moonshine. And finally, and there are so many more wonderful people on Doomsday Preppers on the Nat Geo channel, we're only going to have time to spotlight a couple of them here. This is Megan, who I think is awesome, and Megan really has a lot of great ideas.
Megan fears a global oil crisis will hurl the country and her city into chaos in a matter of days.
We're going to starve. That's going to send everybody into a panic. They're going to run out to all of the supermarkets and buy up everything that you need to survive. People are going to start stealing other people's food. You're going to hear gunshots, a lot of them. People are going to start to kill each other. When people's kids go hungry, they're going to come after you. Your lives would be in danger, my life would be in danger, and it would happen within a matter of days.
Let me ask you this question. I'm all for preparedness. I understand it makes sense, especially if you live in earthquake country or whatnot, prepared. But isn't there a line that you cross to which you start making yourself miserable, being worried all the time about the worst possible thing that could happen? Doesn't it seem like that'd be an awfully fine line to walk?
Of course. And by the way, if my kids don't have food, I'm going to one of these people who've been stockpiling food first.
Right.
That's my first stop.
They're in trouble.
Yes.
You're gonna leave the people alone who don't have anything stockpiled, right? Because what can they do for you?
Go to the Doomsday Preppers. They've got it all.
That's a great point.
Megan lives in a 700-square-foot apartment, which makes prepping for long-term survival a challenge.
There are so many problems prepping in a tiny little urban apartment. We have no space for preps. We've had to fill up every nook and cranny with canned goods and water. We've had to dedicate a lot of space in our second bedroom. We've got MREs. Most likely this will feed me for 3 months. I have a veggie bank and an herb bank. It's important to have seeds because if the stuff really hits the fan, you're not going to have any way of buying food. These are the safes. This one's for smaller handguns and pistols. This one's for full rifles.
Yeah.
I've got guns, bullets, lots of bullets, lots of bullets.
Yeah, she's pretty happy. Pretty happy about all the bullets. We're talking to Megan, or talking about Megan in Houston right now, our final moments talking about Doomsday Preppers on the Nat Geo channel. She has some other plans that are not as happy, I have to be sad to say.
I plan to bug in anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks in this apartment. Have my preps that I have here to feed myself and to keep myself hydrated. Wait for everybody to panic and leave, and then bug out as soon as everybody's left. I'll be walking out of Houston to a bug out vehicle an undisclosed location.
Okay.
I'm going to Mexico.
Now, so she's got a car somewhere stashed, I guess, that already has a full tank of gas. She's got something hidden so that she can leave. But I don't know why she's going to Mexico. I don't know why it would be. They don't explain, and maybe I need to see the whole episode to understand. Why Mexico?
Because of the overabundance of food there.
Nice beaches.
Survival Kitty wants to be cute. That's his plan of survival.
Okay. Now,
did she say Kitty?
Survival Kitty. This is the cat that she has living with her in her apartment, yes.
Oh, unfortunately, no. Cats are not as useful as dogs when it comes to a survival situation. My boyfriend's plan for the kitty cats, if the fan, is to put a bullet in their head.
Whoa!
They had a good life, we've spoiled them rotten, and he insists that once we get to the bug-out location, we'll take more in.
She's starting to break up a little bit here at the thought of it.
Sorry, Timber. Right there, right in the brainstem.
Oh, God!
I've only been called crazy for prepping once, but she was really malicious about it. But you know what? When the hits the fan, she's going to starve to death, and I'm going to go...
Yep, and then she starts doing a little dance just to show
la,
that
la,
she's...
La, la, la.
Poor survival kitty, though. It doesn't, that does not end well for her, I'll tell you that. She seemed like, with all those bullets, man, she's got a plan for one of them right in her kitty's head. So anyway, these are the people, and there's a whole bunch more of them. The show is on Tuesday nights on the Nat Geo channel. It is called Doomsday Prepper. These are... Don't forget, we are giving away tickets to Coachella. It is almost that time. The countdown to Coachella is on. We are at 52 days right now, and every weekday afternoon at 5, just be caller 106.7, and you'll win a pair of three-day passes. Details at krock.com. Here's the one thing I know about movies. Whatever film that's coming out for the weekend that looks the worst to me is always the one that Kevin is most excited to see. That's the one thing. That's the formula. So I knew without doubt that if you had time, Kevin, you were going to Ghost Rider this weekend. There was no question in my mind, because when I saw the trailer for that, I almost thought it was a Saturday Night Live parody. So
I think
I really
the movie
did.
May have been. I'm not positive. It was so
really?
Bad, it was entertaining. I think
even you were disappointed by
no,
it.
No, 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 no. It came back around. I was disappointed at first, and then I realized how bad it was, and then I started getting giddy. Because it was really terrible. So we thought we'd talk this morning to Nicolas Cage just to find out, you know, kind of what he thought about it. Hi, Nick.
Morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good, thank you.
We're doing fine. Well, congratulations on another big box office weekend. I don't know how you do it, but people consistently go to see your films, Nick.
We're very pleased that... Ghost Rider is doing as well as it did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe for those of us who are uninitiated in Ghost Rider, this is based on a comic book, is that right?
That's right, Marvel Comics. Johnny Blaze is a motorcycle rider who makes a deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he has to hunt down souls for the devil.
Right.
And unfortunately, he's not in control of the rider when the rider comes out of him.
He talks it like talks about it like it's another presence that he's not in control of.
Yeah, Johnny Blaze is possessed.
Okay,
I see. Okay,
and he has to try to deal with that. It's trapped inside of him and comes out at sometimes inopportune moments.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, does it? Forgive my ignorance again, Mr. Cage, but does it hurt him when his head catches on fire all the time?
The transition can be painful. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to take your souls to hell.
What? Oh, dear God.
What's happening?
You will die in hell where you belong. I am the spirit of vengeance.
Why now? What?
I had a bad breakfast burrito.
I see.
Now, Kevin, what was up on me and I can't control
it. Nothing you can do about that. Yeah. Kevin, what was your problem? Do you have the guts to tell Nick Cage to his face?
Well, I mean, it wasn't the greatest dialogue. I mean, Nick, you did send Satan back to hell. And
that's
then,
right, yeah.
And then what did you say? What were the two words that you used after you threw Satan back to hell?
I take him with my Ghost Rider chain of hell.
Yeah.
And I send him up to the sky, and then I pull him back down through the crust of the earth back to the center of the earth where hell is.
And you say?
Go home.
That's happened. The line?
That's the line.
I sent him home.
So. Right.
But he goes. He goes home.
You're sending the devil back to hell. You can't come up with anything better than go
home.
Well,
it's home. That's where he lives.
Well, I know. Technically, it's correct.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Factually.
Okay, yeah.
I think we got it right.
Factually, it is correct.
Factually, I think we covered it.
Okay. All right.
That's fine.
But let's not forget, I also pee like a flamethrower.
What happens when you pee the little kid ass, right? And an actual flamethrower comes.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
My urine's like a stream of hellfire.
It's got to burn.
Oh. No, I got to get some penicillin or something, I think. I might have a touch of the clap.
How can you tell exactly?
Well, because I'm peeing fire.
I see.
It's very painful when I pee.
Sounds like it would
sounds
be,
like
yeah.
Perhaps a urinary tract infection.
Right. Maybe you should see a doctor for that.
Some sort of STD.
Right.
Okay. But no more Ghost Riders, though, right?
Oh, this no. We're working on the third one.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Ghost Rider 3, Spirit of Vengeance, Spirit of Justice, Justice, Vengeance, Times Squared Hell.
I like it. I like it.
It's just a working title.
I'm there. Let me know when I'm there.
Are you peeing again?
I'm peeing again.
No.
Oh, it's the pee of hellfire. Oh, it's acetylene urine. It's nitro pee. Ow. Oh, I wish I could stop peeing. I shouldn't have had that big gulp.
Oh, too much healthy.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. I'm Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Kevin and Bean are on vacation this week, so you're listening the best of Kevin and Bean, which really is just, it's an arbitrary name we slap on this stuff. Yeah. Because saying the best of Kevin and Bean, really, you're hard-pressed to come up with anything.
It's just stuff that they recorded.
We should just call it that.
Yeah,
we should just call it some of Kevin and Bean
exactly.
Instead of the best of Kevin and Bean. But we do what we can. I want to give you a heads up. If you want to check out the new K-Rock sticker, and you should slap it on your ride and also fill out the back, because you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and a 2012 Honda motorcycle. Both of those, if you win the grand prize. Plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. All the details are at krock.com, or you can stop by and see our boy Dave, the King of Mexico, today from noon to 2 at the Del Taco in Long Beach on PCH and North Obispo Avenue. You can score tickets to the X Games, Rise Against, Foster the People, the 18th Annual Hootenanny, which I'll be giving tickets away for later today. K-Rock music and other cool prizes coming to you from Dave, the King of Mexico, in Long Beach at Del Taco today.
I'm just rad.
He's rad. There's no denying that. He won't go see Casa de Mi Padre with Will Ferrell.
What a jackhole.
Yeah.
I was getting so angry while I was listening to that again.
And he walks and he goes, listen to that on the way in. I'm still right.
Oh, God.
And you're still not.
Nope.
Nope. Music news. Great news for Muse fans. The official song of the London 2012 Olympic Games is Survival by Muse. Singer Matt Bellamy said he wrote the track with the games in mind. You'll be hearing a lot of it during the coverage of the event, which runs from July 27th through August the 12th.
I have a clip of that, Ralph.
Are you the new Muse song?
Yeah, great.
Love to hear Survival. Right. Sure, yeah. Do not believe.
New direction.
Pretty sure that is not the new Olympic song.
I like it. I like the new direction they're going.
More music news. Michael Jackson's tiger has died. Did you know he had a tiger?
No.
Well, he did. He had a tiger that lived on his Neverland Ranch, but was moved to actress Tippi Hedren's wildlife preserve near Los Angeles when Michael passed away. And that's where his tiger died. The tiger's name was?
Thriller.
Thriller the Tiger. Fair. Yeah, we should put that on the wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, totally.
Thriller the Tiger in heaven.
Heaven?
Yeah. Thriller was 13 years old and weighed 375 pounds. Fat. Fat tiger. He was cremated, so rest in peace, Thriller. More drama brewing backstage of the Today Show for NBC. Ann Curry looks like is being given the boot from that program. They need to find a new co-host with Matt Lauer. However, it doesn't look like Natalie Morales, one of the hosts on that show. I think she hosts the 3 o'clock, the third hour or something like that. She will not be moving up into the second chair, according to the National Enquirer, because Matt Lauer's wife, Annette, has threatened to divorce him if she takes over the Ann Curry role.
What?
There have been rumors swirling for years that the two of them are more than just co-workers. In fact, some speculate they indulged in an affair while covering the 2006 Winter Olympics. And some say that Natalie Morales' son looks just like Matt Lauer.
Dun, dun, dun.
That is a lot of sexy drama for a really boring morning show
that
like
is
today.
True.
Guess all the good stuff's happening behind the scenes on the Today Show. So insiders are saying Natalie Morales will not get the second seat.
Obviously,
indeed.
I hope Hoda gets it. You know I love the Hoda.
I know you love the Hoda. Raging Bull 2? Does that sound like a good idea to anybody? The sequel to the classic Martin Scorsese film Raging Bull?
It's hard to mess with perfection.
Yeah, that's why this
one was just so amazing.
Bad, bad idea. Yeah. It gets even worse when you find out that neither Robert De Niro nor Martin Scorsese are involved in Raging Bull 2. They will have a different actor playing the older version of Jake LaMotta, the middleweight boxing legend. William Forsythe, who's a talented actor, he will be playing LaMotta, apparently, in this film. And there's no connection between that and the original cast or crew of Raging Bull.
Bad idea.
Sounds like a money grab to me. TV listings tonight. If you want to check out some new stuff, Anger Management, the new Charlie Sheen series, is being rolled out on FX tonight at 9, if you want to check that out.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Also on FX, Wilfred, very funny series about a boy and his talking dog. Awkward on MTV returns. Louie on FX is coming back at 10:30. And then Brand X with Russell Brand, whose new late night comedy talk show, will be seen on FX at 11 p.m. You can check that out. While we're talking about comedy, Roseanne Barr is going to be roasted on Comedy Central. They just announced yesterday who the host for that event will be, the Roastmaster, Jane Lynch from Glee. will be the star.
She's funny.
She is very funny. Roast will be taped on August the 4th in Los Angeles and premiere a week later on August the 12th. You can check it out. And you know how they always say, the celebrities, that they, when they split up, their marriages split up, that we're remaining the best of friends.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's amicable and we have a lot of
cool.
love and
we
respect.
Still go out to lunch together.
It's nice to hear about a celebrity couple that just hates each other's guts. It just makes me feel better. This story's about Christie Brinkley, the supermodel, and her ex-husband, Peter Cook. Peter was found, discovered banging his much younger assistant, and that's pretty much what caused the separation of their marriage. Mm-hmm. Then he blamed it on her, saying that she was emotionally cold and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they have not had a good divorce. Just announced yesterday they have a new contract between the two of them while they're going through this split and they're divvying up their assets. It is a no-verbal contract, which means they at no time will ever talk to each other. They have a legal binding agreement saying they will never speak to each other again. They will communicate exclusively through a parent coordinator who will be responsible for relaying messages regarding their two children, Jack and Sailor. Well, I'm sure that's healthy for the kids to have the parent coordinator stop by and tell Jack and Sailor what's going on with them.
Well, your mommy wants you to know that.
Well, your daddy says your mommy is a stupid whore. Well, mommy says daddy's a cheating scumbag.
That is super funny.
Sailor. Sailor. Those kids were doomed when they were
Sailor?
Named.
I barely know her.
Oh, stop it, Omar. Omar, you're going to get letters.
Winning.
Not winning. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian director Mel Brooks is 86 years old today. Kathy Bates turned 64 years old. Mary Stuart Masterson is 46 years old. Did I say Kathy Bates was 46? She's 64 if I did. Okay. John Cusack is 46. Rob Dyrdek. Skateboarder and TV personality. He is 38 years old
today. Do we have the time for the moment with Kevin?
Sure. I always hear like Kevin talking about Rob.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was a moment with Kevin.
He was calling Rob Dyrdek Rob Durden to his face.
The entire time. And Rob thought it was so funny that he just let it go.
And he said, I didn't want to correct him because I thought it was hilarious. Mark Stomer of Killers. He's the bassist for that band. He is 35 years old. An American Idol contestant and country singer Kelly Pickler turns 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Music from Beck coming up later this hour. Also some Bush. Plus, we got some highlights from Lindsay Lohan. Well, at least from the monologue of Saturday Night Live. The show pretty much fell off after that from her appearance this past week. And the fourth time she's hosted SNL, by the way. Look at all the people out there who have hosted it. They've given it to Lindsay Lohan, a woman of questionable talent, four times. Anyway, we've got that coming up for you. Also, NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon in studio with us next hour and an all-new Beans Death Corner coming up, too.
Project X opened over this weekend and came in number two, and Beer Mug went to the red carpet of this. Now, he was going to get some interviews, and it's kind of a I'll give it to you up front, Beer Mug. It's kind of a difficult gig in that there are no stars.
Right. Mm.
You don't really know who you're going to interview, and when they sit down, if they're not a star, they haven't done anything else, then you don't know what to say to them.
It's tough.
Not for you, but it is for everyone else.
It would. I would think it would even be tough for Muggs because part of what he does on the red carpet in these interview situations is he confuses what the people have actually done with who they are.
That's right. True.
So he doesn't have Cool in the Gang coming by for him to sing Casey and the Sunshine Band songs at.
That's true. That's a good point. He checks first to make sure that the equipment is working.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's dot. Yep, uh-huh. Check, 1-2.
Yeah, so he's got that going.
It's always important to check the equipment.
What kind of check is that?
Ha-ha. I was looking at the visual monitor, make sure it doesn't clip.
He sits down with 13-year-old Dylan Sprayberry.
Okay.
Kid's 13. 13 years old, okay? He's not one of the major parts of the movie, either. Mm-hmm. He's not one of the four guys that are throwing the party. He's kind of a side actor. So then Beer Mug sits down with him.
All right. I'm here with Dylan Sprayberry, and I'm thinking, Dylan, not many people have heard of you before. Could you tell me what you got going on?
What you got going on?
Uh-huh.
That's the most general question ever. And not a lot of people have heard of you. Have you worked in the past in something that maybe we've seen?
I don't think he was even in Project X. I think he's coming up in a... I think
because I saw his face and I didn't remember him.
He was promoting Man of Steel. Which I think is the movie coming out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So Superman.
Yeah, Superman. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of him.
Okay. So you sit down and you say what you got going on.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no answer to that because, I mean, what does the guy say? What does the guy say to that question?
He can say anything, Kevin, if he's good enough.
He can say anything
he's
he wants
13.
To. Yeah.
I'm saying a little direction. Basically, you're just going talk.
I'm giving him a form to do free form conversation.
Okay. Now, remember he's 13 when you hear this question, Bean.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
He's 13. He's 13 and Muggs wants to know about his earlier youth. Are you kidding? He's only had 12 years before that.
Yeah, that's 12 years where he could have been a fan of Superman.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
See, and he was kind enough to answer the question.
All right, so now, again, remembering that Beer Mug is talking to a 13-year-old. Here we go.
I wish I had your mentality when I was 13 because, I would be, you know, just larger than life like yourself. And you know what? Like, when you're 21, hit me up. We'll go hit the bars. We'll go.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know about, you know, drinking, but yeah, I'll think about it.
We can do something else.
3 years, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That couldn't sound any creepier.
Yeah,
I wasn't hitting talk to this 13-year-old about drinking, and then he says, I'm not sure about drinking. You're like, we could do something else.
Well, I wasn't clear enough, but what I meant was, is that when he turns 21, we go to the bars and pick up chicks, because he's a good-looking kid, and I could use his help.
What's this mentality that you're...
years from now.
I can wait, Kevin. I can wait.
What's this mentality you're so envious of this 13-year-old, by the way?
He was spry and just... when I was 13, I was fat and playing video games.
He was
spry.
13. How's that? How do you...
the wrong choice of words?
It's just so funny to hear Muggs, because like the guy is 8 years from now. If he gets a hold of you, you're going to be on Skid Row, let's be honest.
No.
And you're not going to even have a phone. He's going to walk by and say, hey, let's go out and drink. Remember that one time 8 years ago when you interviewed me?
And he'll be like, yes, let's roll.
He's going to walk into whatever Office Depot you're working at, and he's going to say, I think you talked to me on the red carpet 8 years ago.
I mean, I'm going to be working at Staples, okay?
So then...
We can do something else. You don't want to drink, we can do something else.
I'm not sure.
Van.
We could do something else. I'm buzzed. Now, those of you that saw the movie, this is the guy from New York that was kind of pushing the whole party. We can fix it. We can fix it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. He's that guy, and he sits down. His name is Oliver Cooper, and he sits down with Muggs.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know.
Okay, so far, so good. Right? So far, so good. He's talking to the guy, and he wants to ask him a question about acting. But he doesn't know that at the beginning of the question. He just starts rambling. That's what I love about Beer Mug, is he just starts rambling, and he hopes that he's going to end up with a question at the end, but he's not sure what it's going to be or where it's going.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but like I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, I'm
so
confused.
That happened.
That question happened. He's asking the guy. In effect, he's asking the guy if he can just be himself, or when he acts, does he have to try and act like someone else?
Which is, of course, the definition of acting.
Correct. That's the very definition of acting. I'd like to hear that one again. That was strong. That was good.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, now I understand.
Dude. Look, Muggs has admitted in the past that he literally doesn't know where the question is going when he's
correct.
Talking. He's already talking when he has to form whatever the question's going to be. So it's a miracle that doesn't happen more often.
He uses a lot of words as stall tactics.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's trying to figure out what he's going to say.
You didn't tell anybody you used to be a drummer?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
When he got to Kid Cudi. I'm not sure we're going to have time for that right now. He talked to the fat kid in the movie, who is one of the main four, Jonathan Daniel Brown.
All right, I'm here with Jonathan Daniel Brown. Is that?
That's it.
I got it. You know what? I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
Okay.
I'm going to let him down easy.
Butter him up with Kaplan.
Look, here's the thing. When you're interviewing people, you don't have to have met them. It's okay to interview someone that you haven't met. You don't have to, like, full disclosure. You don't have to say, I'm not going to lie. Because he said he did this like three or four times, Bean. Because I'm a man of truth. So I don't know you. He has to start with. Why? I have no idea why.
Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, there it is. Let me ask you a question.
Project X, if you could sum it up in less than five words for people who have no idea what the movie's about, what can you say?
Now, here's my question. Why does he have to summarize it in less than five words? Why the limit?
What kind of time schedule is Muggs on?
Why the limit? Why don't you just say, for people who aren't familiar with the movie, what happens? Why do you have to say five? Who can?
I thought it'd be short and concise.
Five
enough.
Words.
Yeah.
He would have to sit there and think and go, house, party, disaster, gone wrong.
So Kevin, I make it challenging for the interviewee.
But why? What's the reason behind? Why give him only five words?
I thought that would be interesting, kind of, you know, creative, but I don't know.
Yeah. Then he sits down. Oh, we're out of time. Shoot. Then he sits down.
Oh, is this going to be another six-parter?
You want to hear some Kid Cudi? You hear a little,
yes,
little,
I do.
Of Muggs with Kid Cudi?
Oh,
yes.
Right. I am here with the one, the only Kid Cudi and Dr. Genius. I got to start off by saying Man on the Moon is one of my favorite albums. I'm not bullshitting you. I'm not blowing smoke up your
Okay, now here we go again where Muggs has to make sure that they know he's a truth teller. He doesn't lie.
Every time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on, everything goes out the window.
Okay, what does that mean? What literally, what does that mean?
When you're feeling good, it goes out the window?
I think I meant all my emotions and all my cares in the world just go out the window.
But whether you're upset,
troubles, yeah.
Whether you're upset or feeling good, that covers every mood that's possible.
So if you're feeling good, you put it on, and the good feelings go out the window, too?
Everything goes out the window, Bean.
You could be apathetic at times, but no, it's when you're feeling good and when you're feeling bad. The album works. The album
every
works.
Time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on.
And what happens?
Everything goes out the window.
I don't know what that means. And then I'm just going to tease you with this.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay, so that's
fantastic.
We need to take a break, but we're going to have a little bit later on this morning, we'll have some more Beer Mug interviews on the red carpet for Project X.
Can't wait.
But job well done.
Thank you.
A job well done. Everything goes out the window.
Our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're going to do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey because this is a statistic I think, Kevin, you found surprising, right?
Not possible.
Yeah, completely wrong.
100% false. And
unbelievable.
It's time for a scientific survey. Right.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
We have people
I always think
hold.
You're going to play Madonna's Lucky Star when I hear the beginning of that jingle.
You must be my lucky star. All right, Bean, give us your bogus thing. And then
okay,
we'll have
first
to
tell your this, lies, Bean.
This isn't my bogus thing. I don't have anything to do with this. This is from the ABC News website. And
sure.
Yes, we do already have people on the phone
right.
who called before they heard what we were going to talk about. So
right.
they do not have a bias either way. It's not like they're calling to support or defend or whatever. Okay.
Correct.
Travelodge, which is a British hotel chain, did a survey recently and discovered that 35% of adults admitted that they sleep with a stuffed animal. 35% of adults.
Wait. You said men to us yesterday.
No. 35% of adults. Then they said, additionally, it turns out, 25% of men report that they take their teddy bear or stuffed animal with them when they travel.
Oh, stop it. 25% of men take a stuffed animal with them.
And the reason Bean brings up this survey
correct.
Is he travels with a sock monkey.
Has his whole life.
That he needs to sleep with every night.
If he doesn't have it with him on the road, he has a lot of trouble sleeping.
Yeah, I am most comfortable sleeping with my sock monkey. Absolutely, yeah. And I don't think that's uncommon.
It's very common.
I think that there are a lot of people who sleep with a stuffed animal. I mean, I have slept with a stuffed animal my whole life. I had an Ewok for many years, and then I had a Curious George for many years after that. In the last 15 years or so, it's been sock monkey. And it's comforting to have something to kind of wrap your arm around.
How about your wife? Try that.
I don't think
once.
She's there, Ralph. I think the truth
How
of it is...
How about a hooker?
She's nowhere near.
How about a pillow?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Doesn't make you a creepy 8-year-old trapped in a giant behemoth's body.
There's nothing creepy about being comfortable when you sleep.
We'll talk about that another time.
All right, so here's the number then. Again, 25% of adult men travel with a stuffed animal.
No.
So, it's not possible, right?
Because that almost insinuates that the more of them are sleeping with their stuffed animals at home, but only 25% of them take them on the road.
Yeah.
This article does go on to talk about, by the way, the men that hide their teddy bears when their girlfriends stay over. Just all sorts of shame associated with the stuffed animal.
Should be. Rightly so.
Yeah, should
be.
Grow up.
Should be ashamed. Right.
Should be
so
that way.
Should be put
now,
down.
Help me understand this, Ralph, because you're better with math than I am. But if this scientific survey that we're going to take, if it is to be proved correct, then if we take four calls and one of these men travels with a stuffed animal, this survey will be have been proven to be correct.
We will have the same findings as that survey if we can get one out of four of the people.
All right. Now, they don't know why they called, but they are on hold.
So
they're
over
21.
Four random listeners. Four random male listeners.
The first four callers and see what we have. We'll start with Rene. Rene is a man, and he is on line two to get us going. Rene, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
All right. Easy question for you. Do you travel with a stuffed animal to sleep with?
No.
Thank you,
all
sir.
Right.
Thank you, grown
right.
man.
And
woo!
His name's Rene.
That's right. Right. He's practically a woman.
We've already won.
You want to stop right now, Bean?
Kyle is next. We are 0-1 so far. Kyle is next on line four. Kyle, you travel with a stuffed animal or not?
Nope.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Kyle, grown man.
Nicely done.
All we need is one, though, to match these results. Uh-huh. Frank is next, line five. Hi, Frank. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Please say no.
Latin, it has to be honest. Tell the truth. Do you travel with a stuffed animal to sleep with on the road?
Not since I was seven.
Yes. Thank you, Frank, grown man Frank. Thank you, grown up adult Frank.
Fantastic. We only need right. one more, and then Bean has
now
to...
Before we go to it, Bean has to do what?
Then Bean has to let this 1 and 4 number go.
And then you have to admit you're weird freak. And a freak.
It's not
yes.
my
you have
number.
To admit
it's
you're weird and the freak, yes.
Travelodge, the British hotel chain.
Well, right. maybe pansy Brits who go to low-rent hotels, maybe they carry stuffed animals and not Americans.
But Bean, we decided
and
a long
is
time.
A Brit.
That's right. There.
We decided a long time ago when we do a scientific survey, that's the end of it.
It stands.
It stands okay. as fact.
But what's the downside?
Unless it supports
of...
it.
Of somebody, what's the downside if somebody is comfortable sleeping with a stuffed animal? What's the downside of that to anybody? It doesn't affect anybody
it's
but me.
Childish.
We will have that conversation another time.
And it is a psychological indicator of something even worse.
All right. Andy is caller number four then on line six. So in other words, if he says he travels with a stuffed animal.
Then he's lying.
Then he's just like me and just like the people in the survey. If he says
damaged.
No, then,
yes,
then you say the survey is bogus.
Correct. And you're stunted.
And I'm stuck.
All right. Damage.
Andy, all right, Andy, it's all up to you.
Do you travel with a stuffed animal?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
The answer to that is yes.
You do not.
He's making it up.
Tell me what it is. What's the animal?
He's kidding.
It's a teddy bear, and I have a very good reason for that. My mother died when I was very little, and I take it with me on the road, and it just reminds me of her.
Okay, see, so
I don't,
bogus.
Don't buy this.
See,
no,
that's bogus.
You guys, you
this
have to believe
this sounds hinky.
Him.
This sounds hinky.
You
no,
have
but
to
wait.
Believe
wait,
him.
You're saying that, Ralph, because you think Andy is making it up?
Yes.
He's trying to influence the survey?
Yes, I think he's trying to have a little fun and screw with us and play a little game on the radio.
Absolutely not. Have you ever heard of the Tidy Dotty Diaper Company?
Yeah.
When my mom was pregnant with me, she won this teddy bear. When her water broke, and
see, but now here's the thing: we're taking like this guy's love for his dead mom into account, and that's not what a normal survey.
No. But in this article, if you read further, by the way, they talk about a lot of people do bring their stuffed animals on the road because it reminds them of home, or it's a gift from their wife or girlfriend or something like that. That is kind of all mixed into these people who travel with stuffed animals.
It's got a pretty convincing backstory with the Tidy Daddy Diaper Company and everything else.
And have you slept with? Have you slept? Does the bear have a name?
My nickname is Bear Bear.
Okay. Now, have you slept with Bear Bear continuously? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm feeling a lot of shame here right now.
You should.
No, you shouldn't. I'm down with you, Andy. Listen, have you slept with the bear continuously since you were a little kid, or is it something you went back to as an adult?
It's on my dresser.
Then it has been your whole life.
That's because his
mom died. Come on. That's an exception.
Does he sleep with a stuffed animal on the road or not?
Yeah.
Scientific survey is yes. Thank you, Andy.
I got to say under protest.
You're welcome.
I got to say I'm protesting the results
You're
of the scientific survey.
You said I had to accept the results of whatever the line four was.
How happy is Bean? Not only
you
was the survey proven true, but we talked to a guy who's creepier than Bean and Andy.
Wow, we're going to talk about this more, I think.
I think we need to phone
him. Dear God.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is 8:47. Here on a Thursday morning, I am Ralph Garman. I do the Showbiz Beat on the program. Kevin and Bean are on vacation, so you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean, but I will be here all morning long, providing you with hot, fresh showbiz news. Real quick, an email comes from listener Brittany. Now that it's been almost a full week, how are you liking not having anyone around? Well, I kind of miss everybody. Lisa's gone and Kevin and Bean are on vacation. She says, it's especially nice as a listener not being forced to hear Beer Mug. Well, I think we all feel that same way. But Chip and Omar are here in the studio with me, sharing this showbiz beat time. And she adds, I hope when the show comes back, there's a whole Would You Like to Take That Back with nothing but Omar jokes.
Oh, how dare
you. So apparently, Omar, you are feeling the love from the listeners out there. Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away some tickets to the 18th annual Hootenanny. Happens on July the 7th at Oak Canyon Ranch in Irvine, California. A great event, as it is every year. Tons of classic cars, vendors, great music, great lineup this year as well. Bouncing Souls will be there, Reverend Horton Heat. And Rancid is celebrating their 20th anniversary. This is their only Southern California performance this year. So if you want to check out Rancid locally, you got to go to the Hootenanny. It is the 18th annual, as I mentioned. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067. Is the number to call. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away, so the first five callers who get through with that number will be going to the Hootenanny. Kesha is a filthy whore.
True!
That is true, yes. Yep. She is even a little bit more trashy this week. I don't know if you saw the photos or not, but she hit up a local tattoo parlor here in Los Angeles where she added a new piece of ink to her body. She pulls down her bottom lip, and inside it reads, Suck It.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused by the directions there. Are we supposed to suck her lip? Is that instructions to herself when something approaches her lip? I am confused by the exact purpose of the suck it directions on the inner lip of Kesha. But whatever those that reason is, I assure you, it is filthy. And she's doing something for money and or blow.
Yeah, she's nasta.
Stop saying nasta. What? You're not saving any time.
She's nasta.
Nasta and nasty saying, take the same exact amount of time to say.
I'm just saying she's nasta.
She cray?
She too? Cray, yeah.
Tom Cruise is a little cray. In order to maintain his boyish good looks, he has resorted to an expensive facial, which is primarily made up of bird poop. Excellent! Nightingale excrement, apparently, is mixed with rice bran and water and then applied to the face. So Tom Cruise likes facials.
Yes, he does.
That make him look youthful, and apparently that's what happens. So he doesn't want to use Botox. He wants to use a natural skin tightener.
Yes.
And so he uses Nightingale poop.
I don't think I would use that. I'd just go with chemicals.
I would just be wrinkled rather than smear bird poop on my face.
Yeah. Good call.
Kings of Leon are a very fertile bunch. We mentioned this week that Caleb and his wife Lily Aldridge, the Victoria's Secret model, had a daughter last Thursday. The boy's cousins, Matthew, has a two-month-old named Knox, who was born a couple months ago, and now Nathan has announced that he and his wife, Jessie, are expecting their first child this December. Congratulations to Nathan and Jessie. He tweeted the news saying he's beyond excited and anxious and believes that life is beautiful. It is until you smell that diaper, and then it gets considerably less beautiful. More baby news. Anna Paquin and hubby Stephen Moyer from True Blood are expecting as well. They are going to get twins, if all goes well. Their True Blood co-star, Sam Trammell, who we've had in on the show recently, he also has a set of twins, so he said he's going to be there to give them advice, which I can't imagine you can give advice to someone who has twins. They just have to go through it, because immediately you're tied. At least if you have one kid, you got them outnumbered a little bit. You know, when you have twins, you're tied. It's game on, and they're going to win. Michael Jackson's Tiger has passed away.
Aww.
Yeah. He lived on his Neverland Ranch until it was moved to a wildlife preserve near Los Angeles here. His name was Thriller. Thriller the Tiger. He passed away at the age of 13. He weighed 375 pounds. That's a big tiger. He was cremated.
He will be missed.
He will be missed. We'll miss Thriller. What if Michael used to ride him around, chasing little kids?
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
I apologize. Zac Efron is a scofflaw, and the one thing I cannot tolerate is a scofflaw.
What did he do?
In Touch magazine caught him parking his Audi in a handicapped parking spot.
Oh, what a jackass.
Doesn't he have any concern for the people who can't get around as easily as he does?
Dude, no wonder Bean loves Zac Efron.
Because Bean hates the handicapped.
Boom, there you go.
They have that in common.
Yep.
Makes perfect sense now. And Khloe Kardashian is having trouble breeding. She and her human husband, Lamar Odom, are trying to cross the species and having no results. So apparently she is resorting to fertility treatments. She needs some hormone treatments, according to In Touch magazine. Now, there is a byproduct to this treatment. It will cause her to bulk up, doctors say. A bigger Khloe Kardashian. Can you imagine?
No one needs that.
No. But she says she's willing to gain weight in order to be a mom. So she'll do whatever it takes.
Fat Club members.
That's right. She will be one of the Fat Club members. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks, one of my favorite all-time writer, director, comedians. He is 86 years old today. Kathy Bates, talented actress, is 64. Mary Stuart Masterson turns 46 years old today. Actor John Cusack is 46. American Idol contestant Kelly Pickler, she's now a very successful country singer. She is 26 years old. Bassist Mark Stormer of The Killers turns 35. And skateboarder, TV host Rob Dyrdek celebrates his 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Dr. Drew, next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we got your chance to win tickets for April Foolishness 2012, which is coming up on the 7th of April at the Gibson. And Andrew WK will be here. It's hard to believe. It's been 10 years since he burst onto the scene with his first album. So it's going to be fun to catch up with him. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Ralph did a story yesterday in the showbiz about Rebecca Romijn, who was on the Conan show, telling the story of how she was mistaken for a hooker. And we're going to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you were mistaken for a hooker. Because it happens occasionally. Now, I'd like to leave out masseuses. What's the plural of that? Masai. I don't know what the plural is.
I think it's, isn't it masseuses for girls and masseurs for men?
I'd like to leave them out because it seems like that would be kind of a gray area anyway in that world.
Right.
Well, for most of them, it's not a gray area.
No, but I'm saying.
In the client's mind, it can be because you don't know which ones are quote unquote legitimate and which ones are not.
But it would be much more shocking to you if you weren't in that business. And you got mistaken for a hooker.
Yeah, I'm sure it happens to them occasionally, and it's not a big surprise.
Yes, if you're sitting at a bar by yourself, you're standing in the street by yourself, somebody pulls it. There's got to be plenty of people who mistake you for a hooker. And this is Rebecca Romijn telling the story of what happened to her.
We were going to meet at the bar at the hotel, and I got there 15 minutes early, and I was sitting at the bar, and someone sent me a drink. And then moments later, the gentleman came over and introduced himself as Pedro, an older gentleman from Spain. And asked me if I would like to join him and his friends, and a whole group of older gentlemen at another table were waving at me. And I realized that they mistook me for a woman of the night.
Wow.
They thought I was a hooker.
Yeah, she didn't say how much she ended up making.
I don't think she accepted, Kevin.
What?
I don't think she says that she turned a trick. I think the story is, hey, they mistook me for a hooker. Isn't that funny?
Oh, I see. So I put up a post of her telling that story on Conan and some other good videos of her and perhaps a photo gallery that you should go through of Rebecca Romijn.
That would be a little bit awkward, though, if you're convinced that the woman you're eyeing is a hooker and you go up and you treat her that way. You offer her, you know, or ask for a rate card or however it is you approach these things. And then she says, there's some mistake, I'm not a hooker. Then I would imagine you would feel kind of dumb, wouldn't you?
Let's start with Danielle, who has maybe one of the best stories. I couldn't have even pictured this one. Danielle, hi.
Hello.
Where were you standing?
In front of a church.
In front of your church?
What?
All right. And so you were dressed for church?
I was all in white, long skirt, everything.
And what happened?
Oh, I would pay extra for that.
And a man came up to me, and he was like, hi, do you date? And I was like, I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, well, yeah, I go out every once in a while. And he goes, is $2 enough? And I was like, oh, my God, if you don't get out of my face, I'll punch you in the
face. Whoa, wait, is $2 enough?
$2. He offered me $2.
Well, that is insulting.
That's insulting.
That is insulting. Insulting.
Had he offered you $20, then you could at least go, yeah, at least I'm worth that.
Yeah, no. But I think he's a crazy man that walks up and down the street. But still, $2.
$2.
Yeah. That's insulting.
Insult. You shouldn't even. Insulting. You couldn't even hold his hand for that.
No. I can't even look at you in the face for that much.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Danielle. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Ladies, it's funny when it happens. In retrospect, maybe it's not funny at the time, but it's funny now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Someone mistook you for a hooker. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin.
Remember that super hot hooker that we saw in San Francisco, Bean?
I do.
Woo! She was hot.
Yeah, he sure was, Kevin. He sure was.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you want to call, you were mistaken for a hooker.
Yeah, you got to look closely to find out which brand you're buying, though. Rebecca Romijn went on the Conan show, said that it happened to her. And Lisa, you brought up a good point. This probably commonly happens with women who are sitting alone in a hotel bar, right?
I would imagine if you're waiting for someone to, because I think that's where you also find them, especially by an airport.
That's where I find. I mean
they thought I was a hooker.
Let's go to Maureen. She was in Las Vegas at a hotel, the MGM, in fact, and it happened to her. Hi, Maureen. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for holding on.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. Yeah, I was actually in Las Vegas, and I had gotten separated from my friends really late at night, early in the morning, so I decided to hit a table.
Right.
And there was a married couple sitting next to me, and I guess a friend of theirs on the other side, and they were like giving each other little signals and clues and stuff, and I was about to get up from the table, and the husband leaned over and offered me $5,000 to go up and sleep with his wife.
$5,000 to sleep with his wife? Now,
how was it?
Did he think? Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Yeah, no, I didn't take them up. I thought they were joking, and I kind of looked to the dealer to almost laugh with me, and he just kind of like raised his eyebrows, like,
"You should have bartered. You should have said $15."
That's what my friends kept telling me later when I told them. They were just like, why didn't you take it? I thought you guys are crazy.
Now, so basically they wanted you to have sex with the wife. They didn't necessarily think you were a hooker.
Well, I don't know. See, I think they did because later on they had left the table and I walked away kind of a little frazzled and stuff. And I walked over to the dealer because I was trying to find my friends who he had seen me with earlier. And I was just like, what was the deal with that? And he was like, they thought you were, you know, a prostitute.
That's fantastic.
No, hey, well, not really.
By the way, we're not going to really understand these stories without photos.
Oh, stop.
If you email. I'm just saying.
This is quite a few years ago.
All right.
Thank you, Maureen. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay.
I mean, I think it's a compliment to any woman that you look hot enough that you could be a professional. I mean, that's how you have to look at it.
I'm not sure women take it that way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Let's try Melissa. She's on line one. Melissa, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. When did you get mistaken for a hooker?
Hello?
Hello, Melissa.
Hi. Yeah, I was actually walking to the bank up Sepulveda Boulevard one night, and on the way to the bank, one guy stops, pulls over, and asks, are you working? And I say, no. And he's, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm positive.
Are you sure? Did you have to consider a life of prostitution in that one second?
No. And it happened on the way back, too. Another car stopped. Actually, he circled twice, came around, and then asked the same thing.
Sweet.
That must have been like a hotbed, that area that you were in.
What were you wearing, Melissa? Yeah. How were you dressed?
I was in jeans and a hoodie and sneakers.
You must look pretty good in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. All right, thank you for the call.
No problem.
Bye now.
See, if she says no, that's when I put down the $5 bill that I've been waving and pick up a 10. And then I go, how about now? Are you working now? Let's try Lindsay. She's on line 4. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. When did you get mistaken for a hooker?
Hello?
We are having no luck with the phones today.
I don't know why they're not hearing us.
I don't have that answer, but Lindsay, hi.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, party people. Lisa May, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, what happened with you?
I was at Morton's in Vegas for my 21st. I went outside to have a cigarette in between courses, as fine ladies like myself do.
Sure.
And I was standing by the valet, and a car pulled up, and I kind of backed up thinking he was going to valet, and he rolled down his window and wanted to know if he could take me home with him. And I told him no.
You didn't ask how much?
I did not. I was 21. I had never been to Vegas before. I had never even been to a Morton.
What if dude had $1 million, though? What if?
Yeah.
At least know what you're turning down before you send him away.
Come on, Lindsay.
It was pretty icky. I know. At this day and age, at my age now, I probably would have second-guessed it with my financial situation.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying. That's the message that's we're trying to get point. Across to young ladies
I
here today.
I don't think that right. was the
that's
message,
the
actually.
Message.
Thank you, Lindsay, for the call.
Laura writes in, I'm walking down the street waiting for the bus. I'm not dressed hookerish at all. I had on blue jeans and a tank top, which, by the way, could be outstanding. I was waiting a while. I had a book in my hand and my glasses on. And in the 10 minutes that I waited for the bus, I heard lots of honking. I normally don't even look up or acknowledge honks, but I kept hearing this one horn followed by, hey, hey. I finally look up. There's a guy across the street from me, and he yells, hey, baby, how much? It took me a minute to realize, oh, he thinks I'm a hooker. So, of course, my reply was, I don't know. How much does your mom charge?
Sweet.
Let's not be mean. The guy's trying to compliment you, Laura. Sweet. You got to come back and get all mouthy on him.
I love Laura. That's
a few awesome. Curse words were exchanged, and then he sped off. So that's my hooker story. Have a great
Let's
day.
Let's talk to Sasha now. Hi, Sasha.
I was in Palm Springs with a friend, and not only was I a hooker, I was a transvestite hooker.
What?
Wait, you were or you were mistaken for one?
We were mistaken for one. We went to get food after a birthday party, and we were sitting at Denny's eating our whatever grilled cheese, and a table next to us, two guys said, can we basically, is it 20 for the front seat and 40 for the back, essentially?
Wow,
and we said,
hey.
That's not what we do.
Big spenders.
And, yeah. And the guy said, I can see your dangle, took $20, threw it on the table, and walked away. So at least he got a free meal.
So he thought you were a man pretending to be a woman.
Yes. And I thought he was really nice.
That's not a compliment. If I could just be so bold. That's...
Wow. Were you out at the Denny's in Palm Springs with China and Khloe Kardashian?
We actually did come up with names. I am now Red Sonja and she is Lady Jade. But we thought we looked great that night.
You did, for men.
Except for the Adam's apples.
Hilarious.
Thank you, Sasha.
I have very big hands.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. All right, let's do one more. We weren't anticipating Sean calling us, but yes, he is on line 5. Hi, Sean. What happened, dude?
So I was riding my bike, by the way. Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Hello.
And I'm riding my bike, and I mean, I ride my bike, and I didn't have a sleeve. I had like a sleeveless shirt on, and this Volkswagen pulls right up to me, and he's like, hey, do you know where I can find some service? And, you know, I was kind of like, go-eyed. I was just like, I don't know.
To a Volkswagen dealership? Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking, well, if he needs an oil change, but he was thinking of an oil change in the difference.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I got
my God.
And so I was like, no, I have no idea, man. And he was like, well, how much do you charge? And I was like, right here? And then he was like, well,
Wait, when you said right here, did you still think he was talking about fixing his car?
No, well, that was what I was saying in my mind. In my mind, I'm thinking, that's what I was still thinking is, well, what's he talking about?
Right.
And then it finally came to. And then he was like, well, how much just to see it? And I was like, whoa here.
How much
and then
you got?
Like, I'll give you, well, and then he said $50, and I was like, man, come on.
Don't that's just
short.
To
I need
see
triple
it.
Digits, at least.
Triple digits.
Are you kidding? Just
to
show it?
Just to see it?
Dude, that seems like that's a pretty good rate, I think. $50 just to show it.
Well, looking back on it, you know, I was 19. I was kind of young, and I was like, man, for $50, I would do a lot more than show it these days.
I show it for free when people don't ask.
That's right.
You know?
All right.
Thank you for the call.
They thought I was a hooker.
Lisa, as you know, teen idols come and go. They usually have a year, maybe two, in the spotlight, and then most of the time you'd never hear from them again.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible to make that transition from a teen idol, from a very young performer, into an adult. And, you know, of course, you see every once in a while, you'll see Justin Timberlake will come along or, you know, Michael Jackson, George Michael, people like that who started off real young and then managed to become adult stars as well. But most of the time, you're Hanson. You know, you get your couple of minutes and then you're gone. Justin Bieber is trying to figure out how to make that transition. He, of course, has been a superstar for the past couple of years, but he's 18 years old now.
Yeah, and but so wealthy.
And he doesn't have to work, let's face it. But if he wants to keep a music career going, what's he going to do to keep fans and keep attracting new fans? I mean, you know, the kids, you know, the little girls who were into Justin Bieber have moved on to One Direction now. What do they care what old man Bieber has to say?
That's so rough to be old at 18.
So the way he's doing it apparently is going hip-hop. Apparently he has a new song that's coming out in 2 weeks called Boyfriend. It is co-written and produced by Mike Posner, and apparently it is all about the hip-hop, and he is serious about this transition into this new adult kind of music. We wanted to find out more about that. Of course, we're good friends with our friend Justin Bieber, who joins us on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Justin, what's going on, man?
What's it all these questions, bro?
I just asked what's going on. That's all I said, Justin.
Why are you coming at me, Hater?
No one's hating here.
What's that all about? What's that all about, Hater? Ow!
Just, what was that?
I
what
don't know.
Now? Oh, I thought you were in the studio.
That's super hip-hop right there.
Justin Bieber's Boyfriend, which is the name of the new song, is super hip-hop, says the producer.
Yeah.
Okay, look.
Don't be all cray.
Okay, it takes a rare white guy to be able to pull off the hip-hop lingo, and I'm not sure you're the man for the job, Justin.
I'm Justin Bezizzer.
Oh, no, really?
See, we know this is no one.
Justin Bezieber.
Oh, God.
What's the questions, bro?
Look, why can't you just be a white suburban kid from Canada? That's fine. Just do that.
Because I'm not, yo. I'm super hip-hop, eh?
But you're not. You didn't grow up...
About boyfriend. Yeah?
You didn't grow up in the mean streets of Watts here, Justin.
Yeah, you're not fooling anyone.
I grew up in the mean streets of Canada, yo.
They don't have mean streets.
I used to slang maple syrup on the streets.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
I'd knock over Tim Hortons when I needed some cash. How about that national health care, eh?
What about it?
Yeah, hockey.
Yeah, that's all Canadian stuff that you're talking
sure
about.
Sure is. Make beliefs.
Right,
no,
but that doesn't. Yeah, but that
cray.
Doesn't. Okay, but that doesn't make you hip hop. That's what I'm saying is you're fronting, as your people would say, Justin. You're fronting now.
I don't know what fronting means.
See, that's my point. Is you're not hip hop.
I am. I'm super hip hop.
How are you super hip hop?
Because like I wear like regular like glasses and a tie and shirt, and then I'm just hip hop, and then I take off my glasses, man. I'm super hip hop.
Right. You are crazy, man. You're crazy.
A cray.
Cray.
You're,
no, yes.
Crazy. You're no. You're just crazy.
No,
okay.
I rap on this song. I sing on this song.
Right.
They say I sound like one of the Yin Yang twins.
Yeah, I've heard that comparison to like. That's very difficult to believe. Yeah, you just sound like a bird who's dying, Justin. You don't have what the Yin Yang twins have. I'm sorry to say. Look, why can't you listen to Lisa and say, I've got all the money in the world. I never have to work again. I'm just going to quietly go away and have sex with Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Why don't you just do that?
Because this is the song that's going to shut up all the haters, eh?
Okay.
Because I'm going to come out and they're going to say, yo, 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 Justin Bieber is off to his hook and he's mad cray.
You think you're pulling it off, Justin?
Eh?
That's
a lot of problems.
Yeah, you do. Good luck with that.
You listen to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Oh, it's like an explosion at the end of that song. Something gets blown up. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation this week. However, I am still here. Your old radio pal Ralph doing the showbiz beat. I want to give you the heads up also. If you want to pick up the new K-Rock sticker, you should slap it on your car and then fill out the back. Because if you win the grand prize, you could win not only a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, but in addition, as well, Tambien, a 2012 Honda motorcycle, plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. All the details are at krock.com, or you can just stop by the Del Taco in Long Beach. That's where you get the stickers, you know, any Southern California Del Taco. But the one in Long Beach today, from noon to 2 p.m., has our own Dave the King of Mexico stopping by. That is located at the corner of PCH and North Obispo Avenue. Check it out. Dave is not only going to be handing out the new K-Rock sticker, but also you'll be able to score tickets to the X Games that kick off today, Rise Against, Foster the People, Hootenanny. He'll have K-Rock music to give out and other cool prizes as well. So go see Dave the King of Mexico because he gets lonely all by himself there at the Del Taco.
Come on, fatty. Keep up.
Oh, come on. Is that people yelling at him at the Ultimate Frisbee game the other day? Music news. Tenacious D, one of our favorite bands around here, they have announced their tour dates. The new band, the new album, rather, of course, is Rise of the Phoenix. It's in stores everywhere. And now they've added, finally, a Los Angeles show to their 2012 summer tour. Here are some of the dates. These are the West Coast dates. Red Rocks Amphitheater in Denver, Colorado is July the 26th. Then the 28th in Vegas at the House of Blues. July 29th, San Diego at the SDSU Open Air Theater. That's the university down there in San Diego. And then here, Los Angeles locally, July 31st at the Wiltern is where they will be playing, so you can check them out for tickets and more information. You can go to tenaciousd.com for the rest of their dates. But I'm glad they're playing here locally in L.A. because I love those guys. It's been a while since I've seen them live.
Yeah, that's a good record, too.
Yeah, it really is.
It really rocks.
Very fun record.
Yep.
While we're talking about music, the official song for the London 2012 Olympic Games is Survival by Muse. It's been announced. Singer Matt Bellamy said he wrote the track with the Games in mind. You're going to be hearing a lot of it during the coverage of the event, which, of course, runs from July the 27th all the way through August the 12th. Elton John and other artists will also have tunes for the games, but the one you'll be hearing primarily is Muse with Survival. Here's a little taste of that song.
It's a race, and I'm going to win. Yes, I'm going to win. And I will light the fuse.
cool.
Yeah.
Makes you want to compete and do things, lift weights and jump over things.
Battle with other gladiators.
Play, get that broom out and start sweeping when that curling stone gets thrown on the ice. Oh, no, that's the summer games, isn't it? Yeah, anyway. Get the hose out and hose down the badminton
court. Yes, that's what they do.
Court. Andy Dixon rehab. Hate to say this, but not really a shock. Yeah. Andy has struggled with addiction for years, and this is, I think, number 12 in terms of his rehab stints.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
I don't think Andy has any anymore. He is now at the Oasis Treatment Center. He went in last Tuesday. It was an intervention staged by his friends and family while he was filming his internet TV show that got him motivated to go back into rehab. His boss basically gave him an ultimatum, either get help or get fired. Andy chose the help, so we wish him the best. Kesha has a new tattoo. You know, it dawned on me. I said, I didn't think she could get any trashier. And then she kind of, like, tried to clean up her act. She's been going out and, like, dressed up lately. Like, showered, it looks like. And she doesn't stink of vomit. And
impossible.
And meth. She looks like she's been showered and she's put on some sort of decent clothing. And she's been seen out and about shocking everyone with how good she looks. And then she regresses with this latest move. She got a new tattoo. Where? The inside of her lip. That's where. If you pull down the inside of her bottom lip, it reads, "Suck it." If you pull down the inside of her upper lip, it reads, "I've contracted hepatitis."
My God, she's unappealing.
It's a bad surprise right there. Tom Cruise, he's a good-looking fella. You know his secret? Bird poop. He indulges in facials. Wait a minute. Oh, I see. I see here. I need to read on in this article. Facials which include nightingale excrement. That is a kind of bird, the nightingale. They take the bird's poop, they mix it with rice bran and water. That sounds like a hearty breakfast right there, if you ask me. He doesn't like Botox or surgery, but he does like to pay attention to all the new and popular natural treatments, says a source to Now magazine. And that's how they discovered the bird poop facial. The results have been fantastic, says a friend. It does look good. You can't argue with success.
I think Bird Poop Facial is going to play the acoustic Christmas, by the way.
They're at Hootenanny this year. Yeah. And Comedy Central has announced who will be the roast master for the Roseanne Barr roast that they'll be doing in August. August 4th is the date. It'll premiere a week later on television on August the 12th. Bunch of comedians together to slam Roseanne Barr. Her husband, Tom Arnold, by the way, said he would not attend and not participate. You'd think he'd want to take a shot, but I guess not. Anyway, Comedy Central announced yesterday that Jane Lynch of Glee fame will be the roastmaster for that event. So I think she could do a good job.
She will.
Seth did the Charlie Sheen one. He was the host for that. Seth MacFarlane, my buddy.
He was really funny.
Speaking of Seth, of course, his movie Ted comes out this weekend. I highly recommend you go see it. In fact, I'm begging you to go see the roastmaster for that event. So I think she could do a good job.
She will.
Seth did the Charlie Sheen one. He was the host for that. Seth MacFarlane, my buddy.
He was really funny.
Speaking of Seth, of course, his movie Ted comes out this weekend. I highly recommend you go see it. In fact, I'm begging you to go see it. We're going to talk to Seth tomorrow. He'll be calling in here to the Kevin and Bean Show during the Showbiz Bee. We're going to have a little conversation about the film, which I happen to make a little opinion.
That's exciting.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mel Brooks is 86 years old today. Actress Kathy Bates turned 64. Mary Stuart Masterson is 46 years old today. John Cusack, the actor, is 46 as well. Mark Stormer of The Killers. He's the bass player for that band. He's 35. Chip, you're a bassist. How do you rate Mark as a bass player from The Killers?
He's pretty good.
All right, thanks. Glad I checked in with you.
She has a lot of insight. She does.
He is 35 years old, former American Idol contestant, and country singer Kelly Pickler turns 26 years old today. And skateboarder and TV host Rob Dyrdek celebrates his 38th birthday today. Do we have time for the moment with Kevin where we explore how Kevin says Rob Dyrdek's name?
Yeah, here it is.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Dyrdek is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Dyrdek. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Dyrdek is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
No, he's not.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Rob Dyrdek isn't part of anything, Kevin. Oh, how embarrassing.
And he watches that show all the time.
Come back tomorrow for more of The Best of Kevin and Bean and for my special interview with Family Guy creator and now the director of the motion picture Ted, Seth MacFarlane. That's tomorrow here on The Kevin and Bean Show.